You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Now we are on the third installment of our series, Foretold, and we have been talking about Isaiah giving this prophecy about the future Savior and the future Redeemer. And today we're going to talk about the third prophetic poem in the book of Isaiah, talking about the servant who would fulfill the mission that was given to Israel that Israel refused to fulfill. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1 to 11, it says here, "Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce, with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die for thirst." Verse 3, it says here, "I clothe the heavens with blackness and make the sackcloth their covering." Verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught." Verse 5, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward." Verse 6, "I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out their beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Verse 7, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me." Verse 9, "Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." Verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." We're reading from Isaiah chapter 50, and this is the third servant song. And if we read back from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 49, we would see there that God has delivered the Israelite people from their captors. God has redeemed them. And even though God has redeemed them, God has shown their mercy, God has shown love to these people, yet these people still rebelled against God. And even they accused God that the Lord did not come to our help. We were so many years in captivity and God did not come through for us. Opening verse of chapter 50 is a response to this accusation and rebellion of Israel. Verse 1 to 3, God enumerated or declared that my hand is not too short to deliver you. In fact, it was because of your sinfulness that you were separated from me. And God said, I have so much power that even just by my words, the sea would dry. God was reminding his people of that one. I have more power than you could ever imagine to redeem you. It's just because of your sinfulness that you were separated from me. And chapters before chapter 50, you would also see there that when God delivered the Israelite people from captivity, the prophet Isaiah was hoping that the Israelite people would respond accordingly to the mercy and the love that God has showed them. Isaiah was hoping that because they have been redeemed, God has allowed them to experience this one, they would now accomplish the mission that God has for them to be a witness for the nations, a witness for God of how good and faithful God is to the nation, thereby blessing the nations. But instead, Israel didn't do that. And so God said, you will not fulfill my mission. I'm going to send another one to fulfill the mission that I have given you. That's why we're looking at verse 4 to 11 this afternoon, and it talks about the faithful servant that God sent to fulfill the mission, to bless the nation. From verse 4 to 9, we would see there that four times this word has been repeated. The Lord God has given me. The Lord God has opened my ear. The Lord God helps me. The Lord God helps me. If you would know, every time something is repeated in the Bible, it is an emphasis over that thing that has been repeated. If you would look at Hebrew, it says Jehovah Adonai. When we say Adonai, it means master or ruler. Someone who has power, authority, and influence. And if you think about master, it's someone that is above. Talking about master, ultimately, we would lead to talking about also the servant who serves the master. And in the New Living Translation, it says, Sovereign Lord. He's above and beyond. Now, it is important for us to look at this one because it gives us a picture of the unique relationship between the master and the servant. This relationship is not the kind of relationship that we see in our society today. When someone is serving another, they're basically talking about ownership, that I own this person. The relationship that has been built between the master and the servant here is a good working relationship, wherein the master serves the servant and the servant serves the master as well. And the relationship here is first initiated by the master. It wasn't the servant who initiated the relationship. How does the master serve the servant? By giving two things: basic needs and instruction. Basic needs would mean food, shelter, SSS, pag-ibig, PhilHealth, that before you are able to serve these people, your master, they first have to give you food, shelter. Mostly, they would also give you the tools for you to be able to perform your work. In some cases, they would have to give you clothing for that matter. The master would provide direction, protection, and care for the servant first. Before the servant even served the master, he had already received all of these things. So the master has served the servant first. And we would see this in the life of the Israelite people. God has been serving the Israelite people time and time and again. And the Israelite people have been rebellious time and time and again. And through that, God has proven himself faithful to them. And yet, the people of Israel still rebelled, didn't want to pursue God's mission for them. The Israelite people didn't want to serve God. Now, isn't this the same thing that God did to us? Isn't it that God also served us first? The reason why we are here is because God served you first and called you out to get to have a relationship with him. We are not here by accident na wala lang, I just went to church and I get to know God. No, God did something in your life to serve you for the purpose of getting to know him. It was first God who served us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says here, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still in the depth of our sin, Christ already died for us. Even before you have cultivated your relationship with him, Christ already died for you. Even in the middle of your sin, Christ died for you. That's how much God loves us. And this is a picture of how much care and love God has for us. When someone plans for something for someone, it communicates value and care for someone. Even God has already given us the identity even before we took that identity for ourselves. That's how much God planned for us. That's how much God loved us. And the servant was a witness for his master, that he was able to experience all of these things. And now it translates to how he does his work, how he lives his life, how he honors his master. Because he was able to receive this from his faithful and good master, it translated to how he lived his life. Now, all of us are witnesses. The question is, what kind of a witness are we? The moment we said that I'm a follower of Christ, we're already a witness for Christ. But the question is, are we a faithful witness or are we not? Two roads to take. A faithful witness or an unfaithful witness, just like Israel. Would we rather choose to be faithful just like Christ? Let's look at how this faithful servant became a faithful witness to the Father. We're talking about Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says here, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught." The servant acknowledged that whatever he had came first from the master. And he said, the tongue of those who are taught. It means to say that the servant was learning from the master. Whatever wisdom that he has, he got it from the master. We see here the kind of relationship that God would want us to have. He said, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. It gives us a picture that the servant has an assignment. God taught him all of these words for him to fulfill a certain assignment. And I was asking, Lord, why didn't you give gifts to the servant? Why words? When I was studying this one, I realized that words are the most powerful thing in this world. You and I have been created by words. The whole world, the whole universe has been created by words. Wars are kindled because of words spoken by leaders. In verse 14, and he said, "Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear those who are taught." Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that tongue has the power. It says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Either to declare life or to declare death. That's how much power words have. And that's why we have to be careful with our words as well. And it says there, "The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." It gives direction to where the servant would use the power that the master has given him. Not to oppress, but to give comfort to the weary. To give comfort to the souls who are suffering. To give light to those who are in darkness. That word has given me. It gives us a picture of the discipleship of this servant and master. If we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we would begin to see that Christ himself was receiving from the Father. That he was discipled by the Father. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, before they were sent out, they were first discipled by Jesus Christ himself. If we keep on hearing from God, if we keep on learning from God, what will ultimately come out of us is coming from God. The question is, are we reading his word? Because that's the only way for us to receive from God. That's the number one way for us to learn who God is. From the very word of God, the scripture, are you reading his word? It says that morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Now let's take a look at the prayer life of Christ. If you read through your Bible, you would see there that every morning, God separates from his disciples just to communicate with the Father. Just to talk to the Father and receive from the Father. Now we would see that in the life of Christ, he was growing in dependence to the Word of God. And my prayer for us as well is that we will grow in dependence to the Word of God. Not independent from the word, but dependent of the word. That when we hear God's voice, we would recognize that it is in fact God speaking. How much time do we allocate for reading and hearing the voice of God? Now, according to Inquirer.net, 2018 and 2019, we are the number one country in terms of time spent on social media. It says there that the average Filipino would use social media for 3 hours and 57 minutes. Who among you here reads your Bible for 3 hours and 57 minutes? Now, look at this. In February 12 of 2019, from 3 hours and 57 minutes, it grew to 4 hours and 12 minutes. That's how much time. That's the reality. We are so soaked with the world. Now, another question is, to whom are you subscribed? To the Word or to the world? If you soak yourself with the Word, you will become victorious. The Bible teaches us clearly that if we are so soaked with God, we are victorious. When we are pressured, when we are oppressed and forced to make a decision, whether to go to this side or to this side, to which side would you choose? When you are pressed to respond in social media, and I tweet, and you are pressed to respond, what kind of response would you give? Is it the kind of response that will honor the Word, or the kind of response that will glorify the world? Whatever we download, we upload. It will ultimately be what would people would see in our life. Talking about sin, how do we fight sin? Do we fight sin head on? The Bible teaches us that we flee from temptation. We flee from sin. And according to Job, for him to fight sin, he said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. David, he said, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How did they fight sin? It's by storing up the word in their heart. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 admonishes us, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written on it. It's basically storing up the word of God in our hearts for us to free or fight sin. How did Christ fight sin? It's using the very word of God. You're hungry. Take this bread. God said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do we have the word of God? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 4, it says there, he opens my understanding to his will. A lot of us ask the question, what is God's will for my life? Now let me ask you, have you opened the scriptures for you to see the will of God for your life? God's will always be good. Now if you truly believe that you belong to him, your life will be aligned to his will. And the only way for us to align ourselves to the will of God is if we keep on digging on God's word. The question is, whose will are you following? And whose voice are you listening to? Are you able to recognize God's voice in your life? When in the middle of a big decision in your family, will you be able to hear God's voice? In the midst of busyness of life, will you be able to hear God's voice? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5. It says here, the Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. In the olden times, there's two kinds of slaves. The slaves for life and contractual slaves. These contractual slaves have the option after their contract, let's say 7 years. After serving the master for 7 years, he has the option to leave his master or to serve his master for the rest of his life. When he makes that decision that I'm going to serve my master for the rest of my life, the master is going to pierce his ear as a symbol that this is my slave for the rest of his life. He said, I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Why? Because he willingly submitted himself. Even in the midst of pain, he submitted himself. Would we be that kind of servant? When the slave made a decision, he backed it up with action. Do we have that desire? And if I look at this, the servant was able to do this, to make this decision, because he had seen the works of the master and he had experienced the goodness and faithfulness of the master in his life. Now, the word of God shouldn't just be knowledge for us. It needs to be applied. Just like the servant, when he made a decision, he coupled it with action. So for us, when we know something, it doesn't mean we would go. When we are so dependent on the Word of God, we will be moved to action and obedience. Because dependence to His Word leads to obedience to His will. Even if it's difficult. Even if it's not that easy. Isaiah verse 6 says here, I gave my back to those who strike. It's a willing decision on the part of a servant. On the part of Jesus Christ, it was a willing decision for Him to give His back to those people who strike Him. And He even gave His cheek to those who pull out the beard. I was reading this. Nganong beard? In their time, when you dishonor a beard of a person, of a man, you're stepping on the dignity of the man. Commentaries would say it's the grossest indignities that you could give to a man, dishonoring his beard. So Christ was subject to that. And He said, I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Okay lang, spot on me. But the question, why did God allow this to happen to Him? Isn't it that God has the power to just give salvation to everyone without experiencing this one? Humiliation and shame. Chapter 53 gives us the answer. It said, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. Jesus Christ willingly allowed Himself to be subject to suffering, pain, and humiliation because it was the will of the Father. Now let me ask you, if God would ask you to do something that would dishonor you in the eyes of men, would you do it? If God would ask you to make a decision that would make you katawanan sa uban na tao, would you still do it? Will you have the courage to do what God told you to do? Even at the expense, siguro, your name. Jesus Christ, in the garden, He was crying out, He was begging the Father, Father, if it would please You, take this cup away from Me. But the resolve of Christ, not My will, but Yours be done. Are we willing to pursue the will of God? Because if you pursue the Word of God, you will be at odds with the world. And if you pursue the world, you will be at odds with the Word. And God would want us to have a response with what He has done in our life. Verse 7, but the Lord God helps me. God said, I am willing. I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. He knows that God will help him. He hardened his face like a stone. I'm going to face this. I know this will be difficult, but I'm going to face this. This is a picture of courage right here. Courage. And the thing about courage is that there's this so-called planned courage and courage for the moment. Let's say adrenaline rush, that's courage for the moment. But how about planned courage? That from the beginning of time, Jesus Christ knows that He will suffer. How do you muster your courage? Looking at this plan, Lord, there will be so much suffering. How are we going to muster that courage? And Christ did have the courage to face head on. And He said, I know that I shall not be put to shame because I know my Master. And to you, do you know your God? Do you know your Lord? That you will be able to say, I know. If I do this for the glory of God, I know I will not be put to shame. People will be against me, but I know I will not be put to shame. Looking at this verse, you would see the confidence of God, of Christ in who God is. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, it says there, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Let me ask you, have you tasted the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life? Have you tasted? Have you stepped out in faith? And you have seen the deliverance of God over your life? Have you made a decision that would ultimately honor God? If you're a student, have you made a decision that I will not do this at the expense of my grade because this will not honor God? Have you said no to gossip because this will not honor God? You may be left out by your friends, but ultimately, God will be there. Experience God. My hope and prayer is that we'll not just know God, but we will experience God. That we will have pillars of faith in our life. That we will have something to look back. The Lord, you have delivered me from this one. Lord, you have delivered me from this one. Lord, there's so much pillars that you have built in my life. So I'm gonna trust you. Lord, I don't know what's the result or outcome of this one, but I'm gonna trust you because of the pillars that you have built in my life. Pillars of faith, do you have that? Chapter 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem. This is it. God said, I'm gonna face the suffering, but I'm gonna do it. Church, my prayer is that when you're standing on what is right, you will ultimately stand up for it. When you know what you're doing is right, you will stand up for it. When you understand and when you learn the purpose of God over your life, you would carry it out in your life, whatever it takes, for the glory and purpose of God. Even if this doesn't make sense. Verse 8, he said, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me." Bible teaches us that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. That is our confidence. "Behold, the Lord God help me. Who will declare me guilty? The Lord is my ever help. Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them." They will not last. But the word of God will last for eternity. Those people who are mocking you for your faith, it's just a matter of time that they will stop mocking you. If you would see your endurance, if they would see your faith, and if they would see the confidence that you have in your God, they would ultimately stop and begin to ask the question, why are you like this? Who do you have that I don't have? We will become a good witness for Christ. Verse 7 and verse 9, it says here, "But the Lord helps me. The Lord helps me." Two times he said, "The Lord will help me." This is the picture of great confidence. Meaning to say, Christ has already proven the Father time and time and again. The servant has already proven that his master will vindicate him, will be there to help him. Do we have that kind of confidence? Dependence on his word will lead us to obedience to his will that will ultimately bring us to a great, unshakable confidence to God himself. Confidence. Whose side are you on? Because this one needs a response. Would you willingly choose to be with God, to abide by His word, or the opposite side? Verse 10 says here, "For who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness..." Those who are troubled right now, those who are in difficult situation right now. He said, Let them trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. Lord, okay lang, it's dark, but I'm gonna trust You. I'm gonna keep on walking. I'm gonna trust You. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? This one response, if we fear God, we will obey His voice. The other one, He said, behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk in the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. Meaning to say, for those of you who YOLO, you only live once, who do things your own way. Lord, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna live up my life for myself. If you are this person, this is what God said. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. He's talking about hell. So which side are you on? Would you choose to be dependent on God? Or to be independent from Him? And experience this one. If you truly believe that you are His, then your life will back up your claim. Your life will be a testimony. Your life will be a faithful witness to who God is in your life. When people would look at you, will they be able to see that Christ is indeed good and faithful? Or will they see otherwise? Or will they say, nah, I don't like your God? Because this is the kind of life that you're living. I don't like your God. Will they be able to say, nah, yes, indeed, I like the God that you worship. If we truly are His, we will live a life faithfully witnessing for Christ.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.